In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with link to Louisa. Number two, with the linked with Louisa, the priest must be the love of the heart of Jesus, operating with the tenderness of Jesus' most sacred heart. So here is a new beginning for the priesthood. It's the most important thing. Last week was to be linked with Louisa and follow step by step what Our Lady taught Louisa in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. And in throughout the teachings, when you read the prodigies of Our Lady, this is what you see as well, this new beginning, I think, that all of humanity is going to receive. So now Jesus shows us that the priest linked to Louisa must be the love of the heart of Jesus, must operate with the tenderness of Jesus' most sacred heart. So the priest has to be the one who is so in love with Jesus that the priest gives to the people the love of Jesus. This is what our Lord is asking. And Pope Benedict the 16th said, the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. This is what the saintly cure of ours would often say. The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. So the priest has to live a life that is singularly one with Christ and one with the Blessed Mother and one with Christ, the new Adam and the new Eve, and to give this love to the parish, to give this love to the people. So in volume 29, 330, 1931, oh, how intolerable to me is the hardness of the human heart. So much more so before mine, which is all loving tenderness and goodness towards them. So the human heart is miserable. The human heart doesn't have the love of God, doesn't have the tenderness of God. And Jesus says this must be the priest's heart. The priest must be willing to die to his ego and his will, so that he can give to his parish, his people, the love of Jesus. I remember the most recent ordination that I went to. It was a Byzantine ordination of a good friend. And after the ordination, the people had got together in the church and were they are celebrating, and he gets up and he says, you are so important to me that Jesus has given you to me. And he said, it is my duty to bring you to heaven. And he said, my responsibility is to help you learn about the love of Jesus, learn about the love of Mary. And I sat there and I was astonished because, I've been to many ordinations, but I've never heard that from this priest, this love of his parish, of how it is his duty and responsibility to bring them to heaven. It was very moving to hear right at the beginning of his life as a priest, saying, my life is yours. My life is to bring you to Jesus. And again, how intolerable to me Jesus is the hardness of the human heart, much more so because before my sacred heart, Jesus says, which is all loving and tenderness and goodness towards humanity. He says that the priest has to be the one to bring this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, the new Adam and new Eve to his parish, to make them come alive with this life, this light, this love of God. And it's necessary that the priest die to his ego and his will. Jesus says we read earlier, the thing that disturbs Jesus the most about priesthood is their interest in everything but what they're supposed to do. And at first there might be this fervor, this zeal in being ordained. But Jesus says this has to be their life to bring this. And he says, a hard heart is capable of all evils and reaches such an extent as to make a mockery of the pains of others. This happens quite often in hospitals. We were told not to be the happy priest who walks into a hospital room and says, you know, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, and the person is suffering. It's to be with them. I mentioned this once before. I remember the death of this boy on a motorcycle. We were there and the parents showed up and the parents were waiting for the autopsy to be done. And we sat there with the family and were silent. We just sat there. And the interesting thing is just to be with them was important to them. Afterwards, they just said, thank you. I said nothing. I did nothing. I just sat there with them, you know, and we were praying. And Jesus says, the hard heart is capable of all evils and reaches such an extent that it makes a mockery of the pains of others. And it changes the tenderness of my sacred heart toward it into sorrows and deep wounds. It's not just to put in an appearance. It's to be with them and to pray with them and to suffer with them in their suffering. It's important that the priest be one with Jesus in giving that love of Jesus to them, in their time of need. So he says, the most beautiful prerogative of my heart is tenderness. So this tenderness is what the priest's heart should be. And the only way that can be accomplished is by spending time with our Eucharistic Lord, to spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to spend time in front of the crucifix, to know what Jesus went through for us, all his suffering. And he says, the most beautiful prerogative of my heart is tenderness, all the fibers, all the affections, all the desires, all the love. The heartbeats of my sacred heart have tenderness as their origin. To help the priest understand that they are to be Jesus, the Alter Christus, to those that are there around. To help them understand the love of God. As he says, the tenderness is all the fibers, all the affections, all the desires, all the love of the heartbeats of my sacred heart. This is what the priest has to begin to live to be able to give this, share this with his parishioners. So he says, so my fibers are tender. My affections and my desires are most tender. My love and my heartbeats are so tender as to reach the point of melting my heart out of tenderness. So spending time with our Eucharistic Lord, spending time with our crucified Lord, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament helps the priest understand why they're doing what they're doing. And what are they doing? It's to begin to live this abundant life. It's to begin to live a life that is, it's Jesus's life, and to give that to the parish, to the people. And he says, and this tender love makes me arrive at loving the creature so much that I am content with suffering myself rather than seeing them suffer. This is, the stations of the cross in Lent, the 24 hours of the Passion, knowing the sufferings of Jesus, watching and really encouraging people to watch the Passion of the Christ of Mel Gibson, to spend time each time during Lent, to bring the people together and to watch Jesus suffer and die for us. He didn't have to do anything of any of that, but he did. He said to Louisa, if you were the only one on earth, I would have done this all over for you. Every scourge, every thorn in the crown of thorns, every pain, every drop of blood, he says, I would have gone through for each and every one of my children. And we have to begin to help people know the love of God. Our God took our place. Our God died on the cross. He shed every drop of his blood for our redemption. And now Jesus says, I want my people to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through the newborn Louisa. This is a great time to be alive. And we can see how great it is because of what's happening this week on Friday. Our time, it would be noon in the same hour that the Holy Father is praying the consecration prayer to Our Lady for Russia and Ukraine. This is a glorious time, to watch, for this third time, this consecration, but mentioning Russia for the first time. 105 years and 8 months that Our Lady said that this is what she wanted. And we're witnessing this, which means, she said, there will be this era of peace coming. The next step for, at least for the United States, is to process Our Lady of America in the shrine, the Basilica. When that happens, she said, I'll save America and save the world. But then there's so much more that's coming. It's the door that's opening to a new beginning for humanity. And all the priests should spend that hour, whatever hour it is on earth, at the same time that the Holy Father is praying the consecration, with their people, encouraging them for what's coming. It's not doom and gloom. It's peace, joy, and happiness. It's heaven. Our Lady says, I'm going to give to the world a era of peace. I pray for a greater than Nineveh. And I think that's what Jesus tells Louisa. The prayers in the divine will are so powerful that when you begin to pray in the divine will for conversion, what God is going to do is surprise even Our Lady. What God has got planned for his children is a new beginning. And I really believe it's the priest, it's the bishop's job to encourage people to turn back to Jesus, to begin to live an abundant life with Jesus, with, through, in, through, and for Jesus, as he has done everything with, in, through, and for us. It's a new beginning. And this is what he said. This is why he says it. He says, the most beautiful prerogative of my heart is tenderness, and all the fibers, all the affection, the desires, the love, the heartbeats of my heart have tenderness as their origin. So my fibers are tender. My affections and my desires are most tender. My love and my heartbeats are so tender, they reach the point of melting my heart out of tenderness. And this tender love makes me arrive at loving the creature so much that I am content with suffering myself rather than seeing them suffer. This is what's coming upon the earth. It's the love of God, the consuming love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consuming the world in love. That's what's coming upon the earth. Great time, a glorious time. And for the third time, for most of us, we're making that consecration again. This is great. I mean, we should do this every day to want the Blessed Mother to be Mother and Queen, to want the Sacred Heart of Jesus to be our King and our Lord, our Master, our God. This is what's so great about a consecration. It's to bring about a new beginning for all of humanity. And I really do believe it's the priest's job to encourage people, to say to them, get ready for the great things that are coming. Not the doom and gloom. That's Jesus said to Louisa. It basically, you could put all the times he talked about that on a couple of pages out of the 36 volumes. And he says to Louisa, what's coming is the kingdom. And I have to purify the world. I have to purify the church, Jesus says. But what's coming is the kingdom. And our God is trying to get us ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II told us to get ready for. It's the priest's job to say to the people, get ready for the kingdom. Everything is going to be way beyond what we could ever imagine. So Jesus says this. He says, a love when it is not tender is like a food without a condiment, like a beauty that is aged, incapable of attracting anyone to make itself loved. It is like a flower without fragrance. It is like a dried fruit without the humor and sweetness. So a love that isn't tender, he says, is useless. As useless as food without a condiment, a beauty that is aged and incapable of attracting anyone to make itself loved. It's like a flower without fragrance. It's like a dried fruit without humor and sweetness. A love that is hard, without tenderness, is unacceptable and would have no virtue of making itself loved by anyone. So he says to the priests, what I want from you is to have my heart. I want from my priests to have my sacred heart, to be able to give to my children my love in a way that they can see in a human. The priesthood is everything to Jesus. And that's why he says he's going to use the priesthood to give this gift of the divine will to all of humanity. He's going to use the priesthood. Why? He says the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. He needs the priest to do this. And this is the beauty of this gift. It is the sacrament of sacraments. And it's the priest's job to give this to humanity. What's going to be very interesting is every priest, every bishop, every deacon will be talking in their homilies about the divine will, about this divine life, this divine light, this divine love that God is going to shower humanity with. And everyone, as Jesus says to Louisa, will begin to live this universal life that God breathed into Adam, this Catholic life that God breathed into Adam. And this universal life, Jesus says, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. There's not going to be many. It's going to be one. Why? This is how the Lord is working. Everyone will become Catholic. Everyone will have that universal life alive in them to the point that there will be no confusion. There will be no misery. There will be no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity. Everyone is going to begin to live this universal life of the new Adam and of the new Eve that was given to Louisa. This is a great time to be alive and a magnificent time to be alive. Look what's happening even this week. God is going to be God. He's going to show the world he isn't going to lose this battle. And he's asking us, especially the priests, to lead the charge in this glorious and magnificent time to be alive in the church. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be complaining about. It's nothing to be negative about. It's to be so positive. As you read this, it's to be so positive that we don't want anything that's separate from Jesus, separated from Mary. So he says, the love that is hard without tenderness is unacceptable, and it would have no virtue of making itself loved by anyone. Therefore, my sacred heart suffers so much in seeing the hardness of creatures that they reach the point of changing my graces into scourges. So he's saying to us, especially the priests, you've got to begin to live a life of Jesus. It's alter Christus. It's to help people get to heaven. But heaven, Jesus says to Luisa, must start on earth. He said to Luisa, if you wait for heaven until you die, you'll wait for a long time in purgatory. Our job on earth is to live the holy humanity of Jesus, to be separated from everything that's against the holy humanity of Jesus. So the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, do you want to do this, first of all? And we go back to the reason why we wanted ordination, to love God more, to bring people to the church, to bring people to live this universal life. And we go, yes, Lord, you've got to do this, not me. I'm going to get out of the way so that you can reign in me. And see, that's why Jesus says the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin must be gone for Jesus to live, Jesus to reign. So he says, therefore, my heart suffers so much in seeing the hardness of creatures that they reach the point of changing my graces into scourges. So it's enough of this. What we want is the graces that God wants to breathe on humanity to happen. We want to see this happen. We want humanity to be freed of all that is opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus. We want this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary reigning in us, this life that Jesus breathed into Luisa. So as we read the book of heaven, as we study the book of heaven, little by little, these lessons of Jesus, these teachings of Jesus changes us. We begin to understand that the human ego is misery. The human will is misery. It's to live in God's holy divine will. We want to use our free will to choose to live in God's holy divine will, no longer living in our human misery. So number three, linked with Luisa, the priest must learn and pray the I love you of the rounds daily. Now, Jesus teaches Luisa, basically from volume 16 to volume 36, he says, this is the prayer I want you to learn. He says, this is the prayer that I prayed for 30 years before his ministry. When he went out into the desert for those 40 days, he prayed the rounds. This is how Our Lady prayed. They prayed the rounds. When Jesus and Mary, in their life before Jesus' public ministry, they prayed the rounds together. They prayed the rounds of creation. He says, this is how Adam prayed the rounds, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God for all of all of creation. And Jesus says, all of creation is proclaiming to us the love of God in all that we think, all that we see, all that we say. Everything becomes this divine I love you to God. And this is what he says. The priest must learn and must pray the I love you in the rounds daily. So there's two rounds. There's the rounds of creation and the rounds of redemption. And when we pray these rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, we're praying basically sanctification. This is the prayer life of Jesus, the prayer life of Mary. As we learn this, we begin to see and hear and smell and taste all the I love yous in creation. Everything says to us how beautiful God is, how perfect, how loving our God is. And even St. Thomas Aquinas says, we see the love of God in creation. How many people say, oh, that's a beautiful sunset, but ignore this was given to us by God. Or walking on a beach and seeing something in the sand and picking it up and going, man, this is magnificent. God put that there from the beginning of time for us. It's an I love you from God to us. And it should be, Lord, thank you for this. When everything that we think, say, and do we begin to learn how to pray the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption, especially during Lent, when we see Christ crucified, when we go through the stages of the cross, when we watch the movie that Mel Gibson produced, The Passion of the Christ, we begin to get a glimpse of the love of God for humanity. So Jesus says in volume 17, 8 to 19, 25, my daughter, the I love you is everything. If all you can do in front of the Blessed Sacrament is say to Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus says, this is everything. He says, no one thinks of him. No one responds to him. No one says, I love you enough to him. The I love you of heaven is continuous. The singing, the praises, the glory in heaven is all praising God and loving God and glorifying God and worshiping God. And on earth, we find everything to do but to say to God, we love him. And this is why he says, the I love you of each person to God is everything to God. The I love you is love. It is veneration. It is esteem. It is heroism. It is sacrifice. It is trust toward the one to whom it is directed. When we learn to say to God in front of the Blessed Sacrament, just, I love you. It's more, Jesus says, this is more important to him than reading a book. A lot of people read books when they're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But when we begin to fall in love with God, he says, it's everything. Listen to what he says. When he hears this, I love you, it is love, veneration, esteem, heroism, sacrifice, trust in the God whom it is directed to. The I love you is to possess the one God who encloses the I love you. It's he is in all of creation is telling us, I love you. In every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water is an I love you to us from God. And Jesus said to Louisa one time, he said, Louisa, what do you see on the tree? What do you see in every one of the leaves? And Louisa says to Jesus, I see your I love you. And Jesus says, where are your I love yous for every leaf on a tree? Where's your response to me? And this is what the rounds are. It's we begin to smell, taste, touch, hear this divine I love you coming to us from creation and redemption. And then we respond. Jesus says it's like the waves of the shore. It's an I love you to the shore, and then it's an I love you back to God. It's an I love you to us, then it's an I love you back to God. It's the breathing. We breathe in this divine I love you. We breathe out to God this divine I love you, which means it's continuous throughout the day. We just read something about the Yahweh, breathing in is like a yaw, and breathing out is like a way. So humans are even saying the name of God in every breath that they take, always praising God. And we in the divine will can say, I didn't realize that. But Lord, for every breath that I've ever taken, I want to repair this, not only for me, but for all humanity, praising you. By every breath we breathe in and every breath we breathe out, Yahweh, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. I glorify you. That's the divine will. That's the rounds. The rounds is what they do in heaven. In heaven, it's adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, blessing God, worshiping God. And Jesus says, I want heaven on earth, so that there's no difference between heaven and earth. So our response back to God is, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. And this is what's so great, to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament for that hour that Jesus asked his apostles to do every day for us. What happens is, you know, an hour, I don't know if I can do an hour. We'll break it up into 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes, adore God. Second 15 minutes, be contrite. Feel sorry for your sins and the sins of the world. The third 15 minutes, thank God and thank him for all that he has done. And the last 15 minutes is to supplicate, to petition God. So it's ACTS. It's these acts that what happens is that hour becomes a minute. You spend the first 15 minutes adoring God for 15 things that you want to thank, praise God for, adore God for. If the minute is too long, cut it in half and do 30 seconds of thanking God and then a 30 seconds of another thanking God for something else. And that could be now 30 things that you could adore God for and then thank God and then be contrite and then supplicate. What's happening is you're falling in love with God. You're not reading a book. You're falling in love with God. And Jesus says, that's why he says, the I love you is love. It is veneration. It is esteem. It is heroism. It is sacrifice. It is trust toward the one whom it is directed. The I love you is to possess the triune God who encloses the I love you. The I love you is a little word, but it weighs as much as eternity. See, our God is asking the priests to lead the people in prayer, to have Eucharistic adoration in every parish, to be there with the people, to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God, to lead the people in the Holy Rosary, to lead the people in benediction, to set the example of your love for God and to lead the people back to falling in love with God. He says, the I love you is a little word, but it weighs as much as eternity. The I love you encloses everything. It involves everyone. See, when we pray in the divine will, it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And the church already tells us, if you're the only one in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. Pray in the name of everyone and everything. Learn how to do this. It encloses everyone and everything. It diffuses itself. It restricts itself. It rises up high. It descends down to the bottom. It impresses itself everywhere, and it never stops. So the interesting thing is time and space when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. In the divine will, Jesus says there's no time or space. God can take you. He says the gift that he gives to his people is bilocation. It's not the bilocation of the saints. It's Jesus is in charge, and he takes us where he wants to take us. And he'll bring us to again, with no time or space, anywhere and everywhere is where he can take us. And he does. A lot of times when you're reading the Book of Heaven, this is my personal belief, but Jesus takes us to heaven. And he explains to us this gift. And as he's explaining it to us, he brings us back with like a divine anesthesia. And what happens? We don't remember anything, but we're happy. Why am I so happy? I just read something here. Why am I so happy? It's because in the divine will, I truly believe there's no time or space, which Jesus tells Louisa. And he brings us to heaven and he starts explaining things to us. And then he brings us back and we're happy, but we can't remember why. And that's the beauty. When you read the divine will, it's always wonderful to hear people talk about the divine will, because they say something like what Louisa says. I can't really explain it. It's going to sound nonsensical, but it's everything. And it's like, well, what are you talking about? You've got to be there. You've got to let God take you where he wants to take you. And he fills you with this peace, this joy, this happiness that the hour of in front of the Blessed Sacrament is really minutes, if that, because there's no time or space. I'm so many times when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, especially in front of the monstrance, Jesus speeds time up and you you all of a sudden you realize I've been here an hour and it seems like a minute. What is that? It's falling in love with God. It encloses everything and everyone. The I love you. You enter into this I love you. And it diffuses itself. It restricts itself. It rises up high. It descends down to the bottom. It impresses itself everywhere and never stops. You're going, what are you talking about? Well, when you enter into this, that's how it makes. Listen to what Jesus says. The I love you encloses everything and involves everyone. It diffuses itself. It restricts itself. It rises up high. It descends down to the bottom. It impresses itself everywhere and it never stops. You begin to participate this oneness with God. And it's fun. It's just peace, joy, and happiness. You can't explain it. You just got to start. And it goes beyond contemplation. That's the thing that is so amazing. So Jesus says this. Okay. Jesus says this. What, my daughter Louisa, how special can your I love you really be? Its origin is eternal. So we're learning how to speak the language of heaven. The way Jesus speaks to us, the way the Father speaks to us, the way Holy Spirit speaks to us. Its origin is eternal. The I love you, he says, the I love you is the celestial Father. In the I love you, the celestial Father generated Jesus. And in the I love you, the Holy Spirit proceeded. We're going to participate in God. That's heaven. In the I love you, the eternal fiat made the whole creation. And in the I love you, it forgave guilty man and redeemed him. Therefore, in the I love you, the soul finds everything in God and God finds everything in the soul. It's this reflection of God. God is the I love you. And Jesus is saying he wants us to be that divine mirror. Of the divine I love you. Why does he want this? So that we can then enter into living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit and then receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. This divine I love you is what God wants for us. He wants us to enter into this. He says, this is why I created you, to be in my image and likeness. To participate in this divine I love you. So Jesus says this. This is why the value of the I love you is infinite. It is full of life, divine life. It is full of divine energy. It never tires. It surpasses everything and triumphs over everything. And so this I love you directed to me, Jesus says. I want to see it. I want to hear it on your lips. I want to see it in your heart. I want to hear it in the flying of your thoughts. I want to see it in the drops of your blood. I want to see it in your pains and in your joys. I want to see this divine I love you in the food you take. I, God, want to see this in everything. Participating in God. The life of my I love you must be long, long within you. And my fiat, which reigns in you, will place it on the seal of the divine I love you. It's the stamp of God. He wants us to be in his image and likeness. So the first thing that he really says to the priests is to be with him, to learn this divine I love you, to echo this divine I love you. Even if that's the only thing you say in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This divine I love you is necessary to participate in God. He says, the life of my divine love you, I love you must be long, long within you. And my fiat, which reigns in you, will place it on it, the seal, the divine seal of the divine I love you of God. We haven't seen anything yet. What God is going to bring upon the earth, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to transform the face of the earth. And he says, I want to start with the priests. This is where I want to begin. I want the priests to lead the charge of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this divine I love you that he breathed into Louisa, this divine I love you of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that Louisa possesses. He says, I want to breathe this into all my children through the priesthood. It's our job to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that's found in Louisa. This is why it's so necessary to be linked to Louisa. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, God becomes in charge. Okay, God becomes in charge. And he just says to us, what he says to Louisa, will you get out of my way so I can accomplish what I have planned from the beginning of time? Mm-hmm. And when we say yes, God goes good. When we say yes, it really is a new beginning for all of humanity. So the Lord loves us very, very much. And he is giving us this gift of gifts. He's given us this infinite love that he says he wants us to participate in. And he needs us to say yes. He needs us to say, let it be done as you say. So our job as priests is to really get out of the way so God can have his way with us so that he can lead his people back to himself through the priesthood. And this is one of the reasons we wear black. We wear black because we're dead to this earth. We're dead to the things of this world. And God is asking us to just get out of the way so that he can accomplish what he has planned. So good things are right around the corner. Make sure you get with your people, especially Friday, at the same hour that the Holy Father is making this consecration. Third one, great one. Wrap this thing up. Get this new era of peace upon the world. This is a glorious time to be alive. And then at the same time, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And he's asking us to lead this life. Again, what God is going to do with each priest is going to be unique. What he's going to do with each priest is going to be powerful. And as a matter of fact, we're putting together all the prayers that Jesus as high priest gave to Louisa. And that's going to be something that's going to be very, very powerful when you see this. It's astonishing what God is expecting of his priesthood. And as long as the priest gets out of the way, God will be able to accomplish what he has planned. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. We pray, most especially this Friday, that this consecration bring about that era of peace that Our Lady promised. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.